Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
On the Biscay, yikes. Five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buckley said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing, got an all band. Y'all seen the block, stop with one hand. And pat we trust, it's about have the guts. We're here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, welcome into the latest edition of Floor's Yours, an extension of Five on the Floor that starts on the Five Reasons YouTube channel. This is actually a combination episode of Five on the Floor and Floor's Yours because I'm here. So I'm representing Five on the Floor, and actually Alex Toledo is producing this bleep show tonight. So he is responsible for all of it. I want to tell you about two great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network and of Five on the Floor and Floor is Yours before we get to today's docket and the other hosts on this program. The first one, of course, is Prize Picks. Use code 5, F-I-V-E. Now, again, you cannot play it currently in the state of Florida because it's a fascist state. But if you use the code 5, F-I-V-E, you can use it in 31 other states. We know a lot of Heat fans and NBA fans that follow us are outside the state of Florida. You can still sign up with the code 5. We're hoping Prize Picks makes it back in Florida eventually. But for right now, get that initial deposit matched up to $100. We're also sponsored by our friends over at Water Cleanup of Florida. You can find them at WCUFL.com. That's WCUFL.com, your one-stop, water and mold cleanup shop. Get the leak detection. They'll go over to your place before you have a problem, before you got to deal with the insurance companies. They're based in Boca Raton. Michael Robert and his team, they got more than 75 five-star reviews on Google. They're expanding for a reason, and they're good, honest people, and they service all three counties down here in South Florida. So check them out, Water Cleanup of Florida, WCUFL.com. I'll do this for Greg. If you've got the schmutz, they've got the guts. All right, I'm going to introduce everybody here with the floor plan. Again, I'm Ethan Skolnick. Follow me, Ethan J. Skolnick at Five Reasons Sports. We got Brian Fonseca. You can follow him at Brian Fonseca NY. That's with a Y in it. We got Tony Schwartz, Tony Schwartz NBA. And of course, we got our guy Timothy Bain, our Bahamian correspondent. I haven't seen you in a while. Follow him at Tim A with three A's, a Y, an underscore, an exclamation point, a dollar sign, and all that kind of good stuff. And now I'm getting the heck out of the way. Brian, it's your show. Go.
Okay, so we're going to get into these play-in races. Alex, could you pull up a couple of the comments that went off before we got started here? Because they were funny. They're hardly ever start on time.
Yes.
Tiff, we were 3 minutes late. Don't worry about it. We're good. Thank you for being here, as always. Welch says, Ethan busy eating Papa John's. That's why he's late, folks.
Wait, before you go on, you know the inside joke on that, right?
No.
That's a playback thing. Papa John's is the worst pizza in America.
It is.
In recorded history.
It is.
I won't eat that trash under any circumstances. I know you're from New York, so obviously there's a different sensibility on this. But again,
You are too, by the way.
I know. I'm just saying, I like, give me Domino's, give me Little Caesars, give me literally anything. Pizza Hut. Papa John's is disgusting. It's the worst thing that the Miami Heat do. They should throw all of it into the bay. Continue. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Their wings aren't terrible. They're not great, but they're not terrible. I'll say that. All right. And there was another comment. Trap, actually. We'll start here. Trap leads us into it. Ingram won't play against the Heat tomorrow. Now, we'll start there because the Orlando Magic are beating the Pelicans. right now. And it looks like that's going to be a W. New Orleans is doing the back-to-back Florida trip. They're playing Miami tomorrow. And Brandon Ingram, if you saw the game, will probably not play tomorrow because that did not look great. Hopefully, all the best to him. But the play-in races getting very interesting now, boys. We have just a shit show in the Eastern Conference, which is where we're going to start. The Magic, with this win, will basically be tied with the Knicks. And the Knicks may lose to the Nuggets, probably will, lose to the Nuggets in Denver tonight. So the Magic may be fourth by the end of the night, by the time people are hearing this. And I thought they were going to tail off a bit, but, you know, the Eastern Conference, their schedule's very weak. Where are we at right now? Because, Tony, we'll start with you. Knicks, Magic, Pacers, Heat, 76ers, as of when we're talking about this now, separated by hardly more than three games. And we have roughly 14, 15, 13-ish games left.
Yeah, OG Anunoby keeps slipping, keeps missing more and more time. The Magic continue to click, stamp their way further and further up. Pacers are what they are. And the Heat and the 76ers are having a race for who can be a half a game better with the same record each week. So we're going to find out how this all plays out. Meanwhile, the Bulls and the Hawks are having their own little piss-poor team off. Down at the 9th and the 10th spot. So I'm just glad I don't have to pay attention to more than four teams right now each night and all these seedings. But, we talked about a little bit the Magic's insanely easy schedule, and it is. But as we found out as Miami fans against Detroit, you know, it's not easy to win basketball games, especially on back-to-backs and in condensed time frames and on the road. Like, you have to find ways to nut up and continue to – change your formula every night and play professionals and win basketball games. And shout out to the Magic, who are just continuing to grind out wins night after night. Their team has finally found that continuity that they needed to squeak out wins, right? They were always finding ways to lose games, and they're finding ways to win games, especially down the stretch. But the Knicks are in a rough spot. I think that, you know, as they get closer and closer with the Magic here, they're kind of battling for 4 and 5, but I think those two teams have that solidified, and now it's all about who's going to get 6. 76ers are too injured, I think, to even make a play at this. So it's Heat, Pacers, going to war, not with each other, but with everybody else in the Eastern Conference, and how is it all going to shake out? It's fun. I think it's the same kind of thing that's happening in the West right now, except both of those teams have almost as, you know, I think the Lakers are 37, Warriors have 36 wins. And then the Magics and the Sun both, or the Mavericks and the Sun both have 40. So it's battles everywhere, man. I don't know how it shakes out, but it's fun.
We'll get to the West in a second. Timmy, we'll go to you next. What do you make of this race in the Eastern Conference right now? Especially when I tell you that after the Celtics and the Nuggets, which is interesting, the Heat have the easiest schedule left in the NBA in terms of winning percentage. People will roll their eyes at that because it doesn't matter. And Ethan, you said this on a recent Five on the Floor. If they're playing the Denver Nuggets, if they're playing a JUCO, a high school, it's going to be a clutch game. Like, it's just going to come down to the last 2 minutes. And Eric Spoelstra will say there's beauty in the struggle. And you know what? He's right about that. Timmy, play and race. What are your thoughts?
At this point, there's a war of attrition when it comes to having bodies, because it's like every day, like, you know, we got Jimmy back. Oh, no, Bama's out. Now I think Bama's maybe back tomorrow, and I'm just half expecting someone else to sit out. You know, it's just and you said it best. Every game is going to be a clutch game. I just accepted that. It's just basically going to be stay close. Maybe Jimmy and Terry save you, or you don't. There was a point in the season that I thought that, you know, the Heat will actually win the division. But shout out to Jamal Mosley. He deserves that extension. The issue has for the last two or three years has been they have great forwards, but they have all these guards that can't do anything. And now everything each guard was good at and got drafted for, they're doing excellently, and it's now clicking. Like, Suggs is a beast on defense. You know, I don't even know if Fultz is back. They have Gary Harris, who hasn't played a full season like ever, really doing stuff. You have Anthony Black, who is more known for the memes than his actual game, but that boy good. I just think the Magic are just I don't know if someone like to say this, the big Heat, the big three curse. Maybe the Magic just stick together health wise. But at this point, I would really like for the Heat to not have to go to the play-in again. but I just don't foresee it. Something to keep an eye on too. With Halliburton, it seems as if every game he gets hurt again, like Halliburton goes to the bench, gets back. So I don't know how much longer his body can hold. Like, I still think he came back maybe 2 weeks too early to be able to play in the All-Star game that they hosted and the mesh of Siakam. I think he should have speeded out a bit more because he has not looked like himself since he came back. And it's like every single night is getting worse and worse. Like, I don't know if he's gassed, if he's had an injury. So I do think that he can put some games together and surpass the Pacers. I know Embiid is back in practice, and who knows if he comes back, what he looks like, and what's going on over there. And the Bulls, and like Tony said, the Bulls and the Hawks are so unserious. Like, they're going to stay down there. So it's really, and I don't even think we Magic now surpassed us in this regular season format of watching, like, the seedings. Like, so I think it's just really the Pacers, the Heat, and the Sixers. And I don't know who I could trust. I mean, I could trust Jimmy. I could trust Jimmy, but for which games will he actually play?
Ethan, I'm going to throw this to you. So in terms of strength of schedule, again, Heat third easiest. Orlando, coming out of the All-Star break, had the easiest schedule left. They now have, right now at the moment, the 14th toughest schedule left. So now they're in the middle of the road because they've played a lot of easy games. They have two games against the Bucks remaining. They have game against the Clippers remaining. They have Golden State. So they have some not so easy ones coming up. They have one against Chicago, which is going to be very interesting to see how Chicago approaches that one. Pacers are 12th in terms of toughest schedule, and they still have games against Oklahoma City. They still have games against the Clippers, the Cavs, the Heat also are going to see them once, and the Lakers a couple different times. So in looking at sort of this race, and I do agree with Tony, whose camera's malfunctioning right now.
Yeah, I'm fixing it. Taking some time.
Philly, I don't think is, while they did beat the Heat recently, I don't think, like, I think they're destined to make the play-in, and I don't really trust Indiana. And I was saying that the Heat will get to 5. Now I feel like it'll probably be 6, which some of you may actually prefer, being that that might be Cleveland. What do you make of this entire race so far and how it's shaking out and how it may shake out?
I mean, I want to read you something here first. I'm looking at the Orlando Magic games played this year. Okay. Paolo has played 67. Franz has played 61. Jalen Suggs has played 62. Cole Anthony's played 68. Yes, Wendell Carter Jr. missed time, but Mo Wagner, who I think has played well in his role, has played 67. Anthony Black, rookie, has played 62. I don't think anybody on the Heat has played more than 60 games. I think it's Duncan at 61, and now he's going to miss time. I mean, so much of this is just about being on the court. Like, it's frustrating, but that's what these regular seasons have come down to. I mean, this mentioned by Donut Dan here in the comments that the Magic are this year's Kings. The Kings had a good year this year. They had a great year last year because they were the healthiest team in the NBA. If teams are not taking the regular season seriously or they're not able to keep their guys on the court, they're going to slip back. Now, with that being said, Cleveland is beat up as bad as the Heat right now. They've got Strus out still, and that's indefinite. Mitchell sounds like he's basically, you know, winding down for the playoffs at this stage. That feels like a Jimmy thing, where he's not really. Mobley is still out. So they've been beat up too. Philadelphia obviously has been without Embiid. Indiana, you mentioned, they've been healthy, but Halliburton has worn down. Like, if you look at the three-point shooting from him, it's fallen off a cliff. And so much of what they do is it's just all him. It's like the old Nash teams, the old Jason Kidd teams. Timmy says, I don't know who I can trust, and that's true of the Heat rotation right now. It's also true of these teams. I just think you're looking at the East, and I think there are a few things that have emerged. Obviously, Boston's the class of it. Milwaukee can score with anybody. I don't know that they've really fixed the leaky defense. And Middleton and Brook Lopez, I don't trust like I used to trust. So, I think they're going to have problems starting Beasley in the playoffs. And if that's what they're going to end up doing, I think they're not as formidable. And Giannis's health has been a bit of an issue this year. So I just think you look at it and you say, okay, what do you trust? Well, the Knicks defense I trust. And clearly he's built an identity there, Tibbs has. But, I mean, he's basically running Josh Hart into the ground right now. Ananobi came back, it seems like, too soon, wasn't completely healthy. Randall, they don't know exactly when he's going to be back. And there's being pain tolerance. He's trying to fight through it. And then Mitchell Robinson says he's going to be back, but they've kind of started playing one way with Hartenstein. So I just think this is the thing about it, okay? I want to make people care about the regular season. I do. It's what we do. We do podcasts off 82 games and every off day. It's hard to make people care when, A, it doesn't seem like the Heat care, and, B, it doesn't seem like it matters, because it just feels like they're going to probably find their way into the sixth seed somehow, okay, at the very end of this, or we're going to be lamenting that loss to Washington and they missed by one game. They're going to find their way into the sixth seed somehow, and they're going to line up against a beaten-up Cleveland team, and we're going to think they're going to win that series. Because Cleveland didn't prove anything in the playoffs last year against New York. And they're virtually the same team with the exception of Strus. And they've been hurt too, so you don't know who's going to be in what condition by the time they get to it. And I'll take Eric Spoelstra over J.B. Bickerstaff in a seven-game series. So, again, it's like trying to make people care about something, but they just I don't know. The Heat have kind of made me feel apathetic to this entire process. Because it seems like they don't really give a damn about the regular season, but yet they're not going to pay for it, I don't think. So I think that's where we're at.
Well, in terms of 4-8, the dangerous teams to me, one, we'll go in order here. I think the Knicks are dangerous because they now feel like a team that is getting or could get healthy at the right time.
Mitchell Robinson just practiced 2 nights ago.
Yeah, he ain't going to play for a little bit still because they're going to ramp him up or whatever.
Yeah.
In the report, Tibbs was like, you know, it's still going to be a little bit, but yeah, they're ramping him up. We'll see where he's at. He's another one who's kind of injury plagued. There's this OG Anunoby, who, by the way, this is part of the OG Anunoby experience. You know, a lot of people loved him. A lot of people wanted him, and I think he'll become less attractive once he gets that big contract and you have to deal with these injuries, but he's about to miss 30 games or about around 30 games for the third time in 4 seasons. It was 29 the year after COVID hit. It was 34 the year after that. It was 15 last year, which probably is league average right now for, you know, a lot of different dudes. And now he's in the mid-20s again, and it's probably going to get to 30 the way this is looking for OG Anunoby. So that's part of the experience of having him there. Good luck on that long-term contract. The Orlando Magic, I think, you know, they need to get their ass kicked so they'll get into the playoffs and they'll lose in the first round. The Pacers all year, I thought they were full of shit because the offense thing doesn't work in the playoffs. Like, I know people look at Denver and be like, oh, what defense did they have? They had a top 10 defense for the last, I don't know, 4 months of the season. And whenever they needed to get a stop, doesn't matter who they're playing against, they can get a stop. They have Aaron Gordon.
Who's better defense now, by the way.
Better defense now. Aaron Gordon, one of the best and most switchable defenders in the league. Christian Brown could defend. Peyton Watson's going to be a real problem on both ends of the floor, but he's already figuring stuff out defensively, especially as a young player. The Pacers are not that. The Pacers are just offense, and Tyrese Halliburton is not the same Tyrese Halliburton as he was early in the year. And then you have Miami and Philly. Philly, I mean, look, Joel Embiid's great. He hasn't been great in the playoffs. He has a meniscus tear that he has to come back from. And when you're 7 feet tall, coming back from a meniscus tear, 30 years old now, by the way. And let's remember, he played like 33 games his first year in the league, which was 2 seasons after he was drafted because he couldn't play the first 2 seasons. So, like, they have a lot of questions here, along with the fact that Buddy Hield, no disrespect, Timmy, kind of tailed off after his initial hot start with Philly. Tyrese Maxey, you're starting to see some of the inefficiencies there now that he has to have a bigger role, and good luck trusting Kelly Oubre in a big game. And then Miami has the experience of, at least with them, wow, you know, they're a team among these teams we're talking about could also peak at the right time if they get some guys back, namely Duncan Robinson, Kevin Love. We'll see about Tyler Hero. I'm skeptical that he's going to play again this season, Ethan. Maybe you can sort of, you know, talk about that at some point. But I think with the Heat, they have an interesting position here where if they're the six and the Cavs are third, they're going to be the sexy pick where bettors are going to be like, oh, we're hammering the Heat because most playoff wins, most playoff series wins, most finals appearances of the last 4 years in the Cavs. We saw what happened to them against the Knicks. What's going to happen to a team who has a similar profile? Like, I think that's going to be advantageous to them to get to six. Whereas if you get to five, you're playing the Knicks. And I don't think you want to see the Knicks in the first round. I think the Knicks would beat the Magic, would beat the Pacers, would beat the Sixers. I think they could beat the Heat. I also think the Heat could beat them, and I think that's probably going to be another long series. But to me, those are the best two teams there. I just don't think that means they're going to finish 4-5 because of the nature of the regular season. Go ahead, Tony.
Yeah, so just to finish up on Halliburton really quickly, we did a show on December 7th that was heavily geared towards what we liked from the season. At that point, Tyrese Halliburton was shooting 41% of his shots from the mid-range, and he was like 65 of 159, which is 40% from three. The pull-ups, he's 58% on his mid-range pull-ups and 52% on his mid-range pull-up threes on December 9th. Sometimes it's just a make or miss league. And when you make your living on a really, really difficult fucking shot, and that's the majority of your offense night in, night out, because he's taking like three or four of those shots every night, that's how that goes. And then when your star's not healthy and he can't be your lead facilitator night in, night out, the Pacers have a really rough road ahead of them to stay in this sixth seed battle.
Well, what's interesting about that, Tony, is that, you know, Siakam coming in was supposed to lessen the load on him.
Yep.
But that hasn't really seemed to happen. And that's been one of the interesting things about this season to me, has been that certain teams, you know, we talk about, okay, get more talent, right? Get more people on the floor. And I even talked about that, you know, on this show. But there are some times where some of this talent doesn't really fit, and trying to put these pieces together during a season. And Brian, you mentioned the hero thing. And I mean, this is hanging over the Heat. Like there's no way around it. Okay. And now Duncan being hurt, you know, back, look, Anthony was a very good reporter from the Herald. Anthony Chang reported that he should be back within the week. And so this doesn't seem particularly serious. But back injuries are, I mean, that is, you just don't want to hear about a back injury, because that could literally flare up at any time. So now the Heat, you have a situation where we were talking about, okay, let Duncan stay in the starting lineup and get comfortable, which is finally where I came to after this latest hero absence, where Tyler's not going to get to 40 games this season. Okay, he's just not. He's at 36 right now. So, like, that was where I came to. And now you have Duncan out of the lineup. You're literally starting, and we loved having him on the program, and he's a great ambassador for the sport, and he'll be a great coach someday. You're literally starting 35-year-old Patty Mills, who was not playing in Atlanta. I mean, that's your spacer right now. And I feel like a lot of teams are kind of going through this, but we've got so many teams where it's, okay, when this guy comes back, okay, well, what's that going to look like? Like, yes, Philadelphia obviously wants Embiid back, but is that going to be seamless? They've been playing a certain way with Maxey for the past 6 weeks, right? Now you got to bring, you're going to bring Embiid back. You're going to go totally back in that direction. They brought Lowry in since. Tobias has been in and out of the lineup. You know, obviously Indiana's had to transition with the Siakam stuff. I really think that's the single biggest reason Orlando has gotten to jump on some of these teams. They've just been playing the same people every night. Like that's it. Like they're not waiting for somebody to come back and save them. They're not having to deal with these different combinations. Mosley's done a good job with it. And I give them credit in one sense, the Magic in particular, for separating themselves, because they don't have vets on that roster. And usually these young teams that have drafted a lot in the top 10, which they have, they don't really make this jump until they get a couple of vets in to just plug the holes. They don't really have those players on that team. They've just gotten internal improvement from some of these guards we've talked about, like Suggs and Cole Anthony, et cetera, to pair with Paolo and Franz. So I give them credit for them. I don't fear them in a playoff series, though. I don't think they're ready. I think they're a lot like Cleveland was last year. And I think that, you know, what was it Jared Allen said? You know, the lights were a little bit too bright. Like, I feel like the Magic in a playoff series with the Heat. And that's why I just keep coming back to this. Like, I don't like a lot of things that have gone on with Miami this year. I don't like that you're waiting on Hero to come back healthy. And that, again, one guy comes in, it's whack-a-mole, one guy in, one guy out. But then you set them up in a playoff series and, like, I don't like the Knicks matchup for them. And obviously Boston is a challenge, and yet nobody else. I don't fear anybody else. I really don't. Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for Five on the Floor and the Five Reasons Sports Network. We know that the Miami Heat, they're typically pretty careful with their money. They don't overpay for players, kind of keep it in the range. But there have been mistakes. Think back to Hassan Whiteside, James Johnson, Dion Waiters, to name a few. Well, you don't want to make a mistake with your hard-earned cash. You don't want to get a service or a product that's overpriced or underperforms. That's why we recommend Harry's. Harry's razors, I use them. Why do I use them? Because, well, I can't really grow a beard. It takes me forever. It looks ridiculous. So I want to make sure that it's shaved properly, so I look somewhat presentable when I'm going to the Heat games. You can check out Harry's as well. German engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. Customizable delivery options for scheduled refills as low as $2, half of what you pay for the other big brands. And you can get a 5-blade razor, a weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/5. That's right. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/5. Again, that's harrys.com/5 for a $3 trial set.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, I think everyone here is playing with fire in their own sort of way. Because with the Knicks, it's like Julius Randle maybe coming back at some point. Julius Randle in the playoffs has been an interesting sort of thing to throw out there. The Magic are young. The Pacers are, well, their best player is fried. And Siakam, I mean, you know, he's there. The Heat, I mean, they have their own number of issues. The Tyler Hero thing, I just kind of mentioned it in passing. But, like, I mentioned this, and we're not going to spend too much time here. We actually should get to the West because Daniel Gafford, who represents Dallas Mavericks, just left the game with an injury. This is just where we're at this point. With the Heat in particular, with Tyler Hero in particular, I said weeks ago, I said this to Greg, and I believe I said this to Sean. I was like, this is one of those injuries. I don't know why people think like, oh, you know, when he comes back, he should just start right away, whatever, and you know, he should come back and play big minutes right away. This is one of those injuries that it's lingering too much. And when injuries linger like this, and it feels like they're getting closer to a return, and it's one of these day-to-day injuries that all of a sudden he's out for a month or whatever it is, you look up one day and it's like, oh, wait, off-season surgery is happening? Or like surgery is happening, and then all of a sudden he'll be back, start of the regular season. Like, are we getting closer to that point? Or is he actually going to come back? Because I think that's something like they need to prepare as if he's not going to be back. And are they of the mindset that he's not going to be back yet?
I don't think this is a surgical situation. I mean, I may be wrong about that, but I don't get that sense. I think it's a pain tolerance situation, an aggravation situation, more similar to kind of different body part, obviously, but what Dwayne dealt with the bone bruise. Remember if that, where it was kind of like it just never went away for 2 years. They just tried to manage it. And in this case, you're dealing with an injury where Tyler is pounding that foot on the floor every single time he plays. So I don't think it's going to be okay. Obviously, he's going to have surgery. But I do understand what you're saying, because there is this relationship to like what happened with Josh Richardson, okay, where, you know, with Josh, it was like, okay, he made the road trip with the team. I was like, whoa, I was surprised, because when he first did it, I was like, I think that's a season-ending injury. I mean, separated shoulder, etc. You make the road trip, he's working with the team, you're like, okay, and then all of a sudden, like, they're like, nah, this isn't going to work. Like, this is not, he's going to have the surgery. So do I think that Tyler could be shut down? I wouldn't put anything past it at this point. And I also am very nervous about taking what they say about Tyler at face value, because there are such politics about it that they know what the optics are with the fan base. They've got to be very careful about the way they frame it so that the player doesn't take even more, excuse my pun, heat. And so whenever they say anything about Tyler, I don't know what to believe. I mean, I initially thought this was a knee injury. Like, that's what I thought he was dealing with. Yeah. Oh, no, this is the foot injury from his rookie year. Well, which foot injury? What is that about? He's had, like, six injuries since. I just think that's where it's at. And I don't mean to make light of it, but do I expect him to come back and play at a high level this year? I don't. And it's not disrespect to Tyler. It's just – it's the track record on this. I mean, last year during the final playoffs, we kept hearing mixed messages. Like, okay, he wants to play in the finals, but they don't want him to play. No, they want him to play. He doesn't want to play. I literally heard three different ESPN reporters, credible ESPN reporters, people you see on TV every day, telling me what they had heard about Tyler Herro, and they were three completely different stories. And then I was hearing the fourth, okay? So I don't really know what to believe with it. So, but are my expectations high that he's going to be back playing at a high level as a starter this year? No. It's just, no. I just not where this is typically gone.
And to your point, Ethan, if it goes where it's another playoff run where he doesn't play, do they finally just trade him?
I mean, I the way that they have always framed this is that they're not trying to move him. That teams are asking for him, that they always ask for the third guy. And I do know there was legitimate interest in him this offseason. There was. The stories
that I know about too.
Having to we both know that having to attach a pick with him was garbage. Nets.
Yeah.
But
it's funny because the Nets are the most interesting thing, the most interesting team that I would actually circle back to if I were them.
I think they would be up there for me too. I think Utah, there's a few teams out there. The Nets are certainly one of them. San Antonio is another one.
Yeah.
I think his value is probably the lowest it's ever been because of the availability, not because he's a bad basketball player,
On that point, he has missed 33 games this year and counting. It'll be another one tomorrow, which gives him exactly 70 missed games between this year and last year, 70, including playoffs.
It doesn't include the playoffs. No,
no, that includes playoffs. What I'm saying. Okay. Yeah. 37, okay. 33. And the first 3 years was 18, 18, and 19. So you're looking at north of 120. You're looking at about 125 missed games as of this recording over a five-year period, which means he's missing 25 games a year if you're including the playoffs. That's not a little bit. Let's get to the Western Conference real quick on the play-in situation, and we will end with questions. So please leave questions, comments, and things of that nature so we can hit those on the way out. And yes, Kentucky lost. We saw that. Speaking of Tyler.
Yeah. By the way,
Kentucky, 3 seed down, brackets busted. I didn't even make a bracket this year. I'm making a women's bracket tomorrow.
I think I had them in the finals. So I jinxed them in our Better Edge bracket. Which Kentucky guard are they drafting this year? Or are we going to say they should have drafted?
Where's Miles Herro go?
People want a backup.
Play anywhere yet?
Please don't talk about the Lakers and Warriors like ESPN. No Heat 305. We're going to talk about some of the other teams in the Western play-in. But those are two of the teams that are involved. Okay. This is more like 4-10 because you have the Clippers who are barely ahead against the Pelicans who just lost to the Magic. Yep. And we'll see if
they might have lost Brandon Ingram.
Brandon Ingram. They should lose to the Heat tomorrow, but I'm sure that'll be a clutch game. So be careful when you bet on it. The Kings are 6. The Mavericks are 7. And they're playing the Knicks. No, they're not playing the Knicks. The Nuggets are playing the Knicks. Mavericks are playing somebody right now. I should know that. Luka Doncic is on my fantasy team. I'm forgetting. The Suns are tied with the Mavericks as of this recording. The Lakers are 9th. The Warriors are 10. We're not going to do the thing where we're going to say, who can make a deeper run, the Lakers or the Warriors, in the playoffs? Because I don't believe in either of those teams, and neither of them are probably going to win a playoff series. Although, if the Lakers play the Thunder. Anyway.
Don't start that. I'm sure that's what's on ESPN right now.
Let's start with Timmy. Most interesting thing about the Western Conference play-in situation. You have – I don't think the Clippers are going to fall that far into it. But, hey, I mean, they lose some games. You never know. But Clippers are 4, Pelicans 5, Kings 6, Mavs 7, Suns 8, Lakers 9, Warriors 10. It's a mess in the Western Conference as it is in the East. Most interesting thing that stands out to you is what, Timmy?
The Suns in 8th. I don't know what the hell is going on with that team, but – it's still about two more weeks or so to the playoffs. And I do think, first of all, Grayson Allen is going to get paid. He's going to get paid.
More than Max Strus.
Facts. Yeah, he's gonna get a lot of money, especially he's very efficient. He's basically 50-40-90 or like a bit off. I do think that they're gonna be the best team in the play-in. You know, they're gonna be ESPN's two favorites, I'm sure. And even though he's never been proven to do anything, I think Bradley Beal can come and win a game, like a play-in game.
Sure.
You know, yeah. I'm pretty sure.
He'll be out for 3 weeks, Timmy.
Right. Like, he'll give us all to make sure they make the playoffs, and then he'll miss the rest of the season. So I just think, regardless of seeding, the Suns escape the play-in and make the playoffs. I'm very curious if Westbrook can come back from that hand injury. That's something I'm looking at. I feel kind of bad for the Wolves just because I've been saying that I think they need him to go against Nuggets. Just between Nas and Cat and Gobert, they sound very the best chance of doing something with the Joker. I don't think you guys mentioned it, but Red Velvet is lost for the season.
Kevin Herter's out. Yep.
Yeah, he's gone. That kind of
playing that well this year, anyway.
Right? But he still hurts their depth. And the Mavericks are going to lose in the same fashion they always do. Luka puts up numbers and or gets hurt and they get bounced. And you guys just said Dan Gaffer was out. I think it's going to be Luka and KD, which is great because ESPN has to talk about something else, you know?
Right.
I'm really watching. And Brian knows this. I wanted BI to be a heater for like 3 years now. I really hope BI avoided serious injury, but that did not look good. I guess we wait till tomorrow to see what becomes of the Pelicans. But someone is going to be upset in this first round. Like, I could honestly see Zion like bullying the Clippers, you know? Like, I could see something scary, crazy happening in the first round.
Me too. I would be scared of the Pelicans unless Brandon Ingram is out. But I mean, that might be fine without him. Tony, what are your thoughts here on the Western Conference race between 4 through 10? This potential bloodbath that we're seeing unfold.
Well, to Timmy's point, if Brandon Ingram is seriously injured, he's going to fit great in Miami. He's going to do really well. I think there's only one spot up for grabs for the playoffs, and it's that fifth or sixth seed, depending on where the Kings stop. Just nobody's trying to guard 70 to 80 sets of pick and roll night in, night out. The Kings are going to win two more games. They're going to lose 1-2, 1-2, 1-2. They'll trade that way until the end of the season, and then people remember Sabonis can't shoot more than 16 feet out, and they'll get eliminated. I think all the teams this year in the West are better than they were last year. They're you know, the Kings are going in with largely the same construction and less shooting. But they just nobody, that two-man game that they have is so dangerous. Nobody wants to actually commit to defending it in the regular season. I don't know what their schedule looks like. Maybe they're playing tens games, but they're there to me. The Pelican spot is up to grabs depending on what Zion Williamson does in response to the Brandon Ingram injury. But yeah, Timmy said the Suns. I like it. I could pitch you a Mavs take where I say, hey, Derek Lively wasn't having a great time at first when Daniel Gafford came over. And then he started to figure it out, how to play minutes with him. But pitching Derek Lively back in a spot that he's already familiar with and played a lot of time this season, he's a rookie. Swapping roles for him isn't a fun thing. So now he goes back to the role he played for 50% of the season. And the Mavs are clicking exactly like they were before because PJ Washington's still there and is still playing good ball. And I think they have a rotation and a lineup now that's even more solidified and more ready for the playoffs. Not having Daniel Gafford is not a good thing, but they can win enough games, I think, to get a playoff spot. That would not surprise me. I, too, think it's the Suns. Bradley Beal gives them just a different element towards the end of the season here, but it wouldn't surprise me at all if the Derek Lively experience is good enough to pull the Mavericks into a playoff spot that the New Orleans Pelicans lose.
Welsh says that Gafford's back on the bench for what that's worth. So hopefully not serious.
There you go.
I don't think Brandon Ingram made it that far. Look, I love the Mavs too, but I'll get into that in a second. Ethan, what stands out to you here?
I mean, on the overall of the Western Conference, what's fascinating to me is that we've got a lot of teams with like single or two stars, but very flawed rosters around them. And I'll take Denver and you take the field.
Same.
I just you know what I'm saying? I could talk myself into a Luka run. I could talk myself into Kawhi if Paul George remembers how to play basketball. I could talk myself into even Durant, honestly, at this stage, although it's the evidence is starting to mount against KD since the Warriors experience that he just can't carry these teams. And I don't know if it's an indictment of him as a player or a leader or what, but it doesn't materialize the way it's supposed to materialize. But I watch the Nuggets and I'm just like, who's beating them? Like, seriously, like, If you looked at, Minnesota went totally healthy, I guess if Towns, was in there, I agree with Timmy that maybe they have the bigs to fight them on a little bit, and that Anthony Edwards would force Denver to make some decisions defensively that they don't necessarily want to have to make. I could have been talked into that, but without Towns healthy and not knowing about his availability going forward, it's hard to go there. You know, the Pelicans, again, were on a run, but it seems like every time they get on a run, they get sidelined by somebody's injury, and it looks like that happened tonight. Dallas, I don't know. When Kyrie starts eating again, what does that look like? I just I don't trust. I mean, I know, Brian, you and I both don't really trust him. I don't trust the Jason Kidd coach team. I don't, to stay consistent and to win a series like that. I mean, the Clippers are probably the team that jumps out the most to me, simply because I do trust Ty Lue in a playoff series, and Kawhi can be the best player on the floor literally against anybody. Okay. But I don't know if they all stay healthy, and it always seems like they implode. So I know that the NBA doesn't necessarily want this story, but to me, the Nuggets are better than last year. Like, we talked about their eight man. They only played eight last year when it mattered, and they lost two of them. But Peyton Watson's better than Bruce Brown right now, I think, because he just gives that. I like Bruce Brown, but Peyton Watson gives them more length and defensively. Like, it's like they can switch everything. They can switch everything on defense, and they have a guy who makes the game better for everybody else. And as long as that guy is healthy and not on a horse, I just don't know who's beating them. And I can tell you the team in the East is not. I would take the Nuggets all day long against Boston, all day long. And we know Miami would lose that series like 10-2 in games. Like there's no chance the Heat could get two games off the Nuggets. I don't see it. They're not constructed to beat that team. And honestly, I don't think Boston is either. So we can talk about everything else, but I think we're just looking at a Denver repeat. I think that's where we're at.
Yeah, I want to have a larger Boston discussion leading up to the playoffs, because I am zagging on them when everybody else is zigging and doing the whole Boston's going to win the title thing again. We could get on that.
Ye old the Brian Fonseca. That is the hashtag Brian Fonseca.
Well, I mean, Simmons is doing a documentary. If there's a kiss of death, that's it. Like, there's no chance. I mean, I love our guy Alf tweeting out, what was it? Were any of those championships at HD? That they've had.
No, actually, I don't even think 2008. Listen, they got one title.
They're on VHS, basically.
Beta. One title since 1986. Something like that, 1987, yeah. Almost 40 years. Like, that's an entire generation, multiple generations of people. You know what I mean? Like, their last title barely came before hip hop was invented. Before the
You guys remember? You guys remember when HD first came out and it wasn't even high definition? It was just sidebars that said ESPN, and it tightened the screen up to make the resolution higher. Yeah,
The Celtics are waiting for AOL to load. Basically,
yeah,
that loads, they'll win another championship.
So on the West,
we've been subjected to like six different podcast hosts from that team. Seriously, like from that team, it's the greatest championship in NBA history. According to them.
Yeah, we need
only more. One that matters.
We need more athlete content. More, I'm so glad LeBron James and JJ Redick are doing the show, because I know they need the exposure as aspiring on air talents to just add Brian, other jobs to their resume.
I at least appreciate what they're trying to do, even though it was completely staged by the fact that JJ said none of that content is out there. Thankfully, JJ credited Brady Hawk while he did that, but then all of a sudden, you don't think that he had that show in development with LeBron already, like uninterrupted through Maverick when he made that comment. And then, of course, the only thing that gets pulled from it is Bucher, who I used to work with. I like Rick, but like he pulled the thing about LeBron saying he's the chosen one, which has been Rick's shtick here for 20 years. Like literally, that's what they got out of that podcast. Like the two of them are breaking down like floppy action and all the rest of this stuff and inbounds passes. And they're breaking down LeBron like a passing reference saying he's the chosen one. There's we just can't have nice things, basically. That's where this is at.
JJ Redick understands like that's the game that's going to happen. Like, yes, you can do the shows like this is a newer version of Detail. I don't know if people remember that or know that. Like that's basically what this is. And it's like, oh, we're gonna prove that, you know, we're the guys who can make film content cool. And it's like, you're LeBron James and JJ Redick. People are going to tune in because it's LeBron James and JJ Redick if they tune in. And then a lot of people are not going to because they probably don't want to be that into weeds because they don't have time for that shit. You know what I mean? But ultimately, you know, it's just we could there's a big extrapolation of this discussion we could have that I would love to have, but we don't have time for that shit. On the Western Conference, real quick, we have the Clippers at 4. All season long, I don't understand why like we just decided to give the title to the Clippers a couple months ago. I was the person, as Tony said, like I was doing what I do, and I was like, hey, why does everyone have a boner for the Clippers right now? Because they're tearing through the regular season. It's January. Who wins the title in January? I don't understand that. Right. Well, they did it before January.
True. You should have ended the show on that.
I think that's perfect. But that's what happened. And it's like, I've seen James Harden's movies before. I've seen him in the playoffs. Paul George, I've seen you hit the side of the backboard in the playoffs. Yes, I'm going to hold that against you, even though you had a pretty nice playoff run after that. Kawhi Leonard, you're going to stay healthy the whole time. Russell Westbrook, they're sneaky missing him because he's sneaky important, but I don't trust him in a big game either. And oh, by the way, if you play the Pelicans, I think the Pelicans could potentially win that series because I've seen the Pelicans sun you on your own home court earlier this season. I think the Clippers are good. They're talented. They're not beating Denver. If they come across Denver, they're out. Pelicans, I think they can make a run. I think they're dangerous. I think they're deep. I don't think they're going to go beyond maybe the second round of the playoffs. Maybe the Western Conference Finals if things break right, but things didn't seemingly break right for Brandon Ingram tonight. We'll see how that goes. The Kings, I mean, Pacers West, I don't think they're going to win a playoff series at all. If they play against Minnesota, maybe you could talk me into it because I still think Rudy Gobert is one of the most overrated players in the league. And we're going to give him Defensive Player of the Year again. And then we're going to watch what happens in the playoffs. And I'll shut up if they make it to the finals, but I don't trust that dude at all. They don't have Karl-Anthony Towns. We'll see how important that is. I think Anthony Edwards is going to be a superstar. That dude is going to be really, really good. But we'll see. Because I don't trust that organization at all. The Mavericks, I actually think they're sneaky dangerous, could make a run. And if you want to tell me Luka Doncic is the second best player in the Western Conference after Nikola Jokic, I'm listening. I'm at least listening. Kyrie Irving, don't really trust him that much, but I give him credit. He's been quiet this year. You know, he's been fine. He's just playing ball. Dallas reporters haven't indicated that bad things have been happening. Kyrie things have been happening. So he's just kind of hooping. The injuries have sort of surfaced, and that's sort of the sneaky, underrated thing about the Kyrie Irving experience is that he gets hurt a lot, but he's been good when he plays. And I think none of the top-tier teams in terms of record in the Western Conference would want to see him. If the Mavericks play the Timberwolves, I think that would be an interesting first-round matchup. That's actually something that's possible given the standings, and I think some people would be like, you know, kind of like Luka in that situation. But we'll see. The Suns, they're just not a complete team, and this is what happens when you go all in and you have new owner syndrome. Mm-hmm. So bring it back to Bill Simmons. New owner syndrome where you have a guy gung-ho about putting together a big three, not having a depth, don't really care about anything on their roster outside of the top three guys. That's sort of how they're looking at this. It's like, we'll get Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal, and Devin Booker, and we'll figure it out, and they haven't figured it out. We'll see what happens there. The Lakers, let's be serious. And the Warriors, I don't think they have enough. So that's where we're kind of at. I like Dallas kind of the most to make a deep run out of that group. Because I think Luka Doncic is scary. I like what they did at the trade deadline. And I think they could surprise some teams. And they do have a Western Conference Finals trip in their back pocket from a couple years ago. I sneaky like New Orleans. And I think the Clippers are good. But, man, their injuries, we'll see. Because those guys have been healthy all year. the big three in that organization, and we'll see if that lasts. But I do think Tyronn Lue is a great coach, and he's somebody I trust more than most other coaches in the Western Conference. All right. Do we have comments, questions, whatever, to end the show? Send them now, because we've already gone for 45. So leave comments, leave questions. Where are we going, Alex? Bunch of stuff. Bring them in, because we're going to tackle a few of these before we get out of here. Welsh says, burn every asset and acquire the no trade clause. Brilliant work. That's why I didn't understand all the crying about, he should have got Bradley Beal.
There we go.
Yep. I didn't understand that. Like, I thought they should have.
As soon as Bartelstein said no on the no trade clause, Pat said, okay, that's it. I mean, it never even got to Heat ownership. Like, that report was wrong. Like, it never even got to the Arisons, because Pat was like, I'm not taking a guy with a no trade clause. The Heat, if you haven't learned something about the Heat by now, Pat Riley's not going to allow himself to be boxed into a corner. Like, that's just not going to happen. It goes back to, you remember the Stoudemire signing with the Knicks in 2010 when Bosch ended up signing with Miami? Well, a big sticking point there was the Knicks gave Cy Damari without any protections on his injuries. Mm-hmm. And that came back to
5 years.
Right. That came back to bite them. Now, Amari was great when he first got there, but it didn't last very long. And the Heat ended up getting him anyway a few years later when he was past his prime. But like CJK 622, nobody puts Riley in a corner. He wasn't going to accept the no trade clause. So that was basically it. And Bartelstein was always sending him to his son anyway in Phoenix. So that's where that was headed. So
Donut Dan, question: with Team USA getting seated with Serbia, this is Olympic talk, folks. This is my bag right here. Do you think that basically locks Bam into an Olympic spot?
Already locked, buddy.
I will say this. I'm not going to go too in on the groups, because I'm going to have all spring and summer to get into this. But USA, Serbia, South Sudan, who they're pretty dangerous. And the winner of a Olympic qualifying group, which will be like Lithuania, Mexico, Puerto Rico, Italy are the main teams in that. Lithuania is probably going to win that as a Puerto Rican. Like, I'm going to admit, like, Lithuania is probably going to win that. So, yeah, you might see Nikola Jokic. You might see Nikola Jovic. You might see Jonas Valanciunas. So, Team USA will need Bam. I don't know if he's going to play. I think he probably wants to. Ethan, does he want to repeat, run it back? But
he's playing. He's playing.
If he's
invited, he's playing. I think that, to me, that's a no-brainer. I mean, look, Bam, you know, Bam wants the accolades. He wants that stuff. He feels, you know, that he's been overlooked for some of this. And you're talking about going on a stage and playing, being on a team with Steph Curry and LeBron James and the rest of them. I mean, that, you know, that you're stamped at that point. Like, other than a championship, like, that's winning a gold medal with that group would be the thing. And we know that Embiid won't get through the first two games, so Bam's going to end up being the starter the rest of the way. So that, and you can make an argument.
You don't know if Embiid's going to make it. Suited.
Well, that's the thing. Like, well, that's the other thing, though. You can always make the case too that Bam is better suited for Olympic play than Embiid is, actually. In terms of what that team needs, right? Like, what they don't need, as great as Embiid is, you don't need some of what he provides. You need what Bam provides. He's a perfect Olympic center, honestly. So yeah, he will be invited and he will play. That's my expectation.
He's got the respect of the coaching staff. By the way, this is question of the year. Mm-hmm. Respect to the coaching staff.
I'll get to it in a second. Leave it up there, Alex.
He has the continuity that I think is required in these things, and that's why I believe we're going to see Jalen Brunson again. More important, Anthony Edwards. And for the same reason that you said Anthony Edwards, he just loves this shit. When he came back with his first gold medal, he brought that thing with him to Summer League. It's one of my happiest moments ever. Is I got a picture with Bam in a parking lot at 12 o'clock at night after Summer League games in Vegas. And you know what he had in his fucking neck there in Vegas?
Gold medal.
The gold medal. The gold medal. He loves this stuff.
I give you even better. Bam, actually, I was there when he didn't have a pass to get in. Because the way that it works in Vegas is you've got the main entrance, but you got Thomas and Mac on one side, and you got Cox Pavilion on the other side. they weren't letting Bam in, but he didn't have a pass, but he did have his whole middle with him. So yes, he's carrying it. I saw Chris Bosh not get let in to the Cox, but actually I was sitting just aside here, cause I don't really want to answer this question that just came in. I was actually sitting at Cox Pavilion, the smaller of the two buildings behind the basket, next to a couple of other reporters, I think McManaman and a couple of others. And Sam Hinkie was sitting there, and he did not have his pass, and they kicked him out because he didn't look like he belonged there, which actually, based on Sam Hinkie's career as general manager of the Philadelphia 76ers, was probably true. But yeah, they're pretty tight there. So that's the thing. When you win a gold medal, bring it to Las Vegas so they'll actually let you in to watch Summer Leaguers play.
All right.
Do we have to answer this question?
No, we don't have to.
Do we?
The answer is Ethan upgrades his internet. Ven, can we put that one up, Alex? Ven's question, who arrived late. Daniel Gafford, by the way, starting the second half. DeMar DeRozan ejected. He got a flagrant two, which is bullshit. He's on my fantasy team, and I'm in the fantasy championship. I need DeMar DeRozan. So thank you for that, officials.
God save you, Brian.
Dylan Brooks also got ejected. Then late to the show, question for one of you. What's the 7-man rotation in the playoffs considered Tyler healthy? It could be 8.
It'll be 9.
8 or 9. Yeah, okay. So a playoff rotation, if Tyler considered Tyler healthy, I don't think you could consider Tyler healthy at this point is my cop-out answer to that. We can make the playoff rotation.
Here's my best guess if everybody's healthy, okay? I think it does start with the lineup we've seen recently. I think at this point it would be Rozier, Robinson, Butler, Jovic, because of his improvement on defense.
Yes.
As a short minute starter and Bam. Mm-hmm. And I think your bench is Love, Martin, Hawkins, Hero.
I agree.
Which, by the way, is the best bench in the league. But we'll never see it because it's never going to be completely healthy.
Yeah, I don't think. I think the more interesting question is actually Ethan meant, Duncan Robinson, not Orlando.
No.
I pretty much agree, but I would ask this. This is the more interesting question to me, and I think everybody should answer. If Hero's out, because I actually think Love will be back. Hero, I'm not so sure. Mm-hmm. If Hero's out, who's absorbing those minutes? Other than
Eddie.
Is it just Patty Mills because of what we're seeing?
It's
now?
Just I say this with my confidence, right? Ethan might have a whole different answer to shut me up. But I mean, at this point, if Tyler comes back, the only thing that he can really provide this team is to be more dynamic is shooting. I think Terry has filled a good niche for himself, and I think Duncan fits really well next to him.
I played DeLon personally. I think you might be right because he's playing Patty now, but I think that's just to see what he brings. I think in the playoffs,
you can see who they trust with 3 games already. You can see who they trust.
I would put DeLon because I prefer to lean defense in the playoffs. That's just me.
I know, but I do. I think Spo's in love, honestly, with Patty.
He loves veterans. Ethan has the rejuvenator badge in 2K. Like, I'm not even bullshitting. He actually has that badge in 2K.
He loves those bets. I think we should let Timmy hasn't talked in a while. You should take the next 2 questions. Throw 2 questions up for Timmy, and then I got to check on my daughter because I think she's watching South Park with the other Timmy in there. And I there you go. There you go. Oh boy, Donut Dad just threw this out there. Hold on a second. You want to let Timmy? You take this or Donut Dad? Patty thing. Patty, it's a horrible way to end the show. Horrible way.
We'll get another one before the show ends.
I just hope that Spo learned his lesson, and after 2 games of he's like 0-10, just sits Patty. But I don't understand why we signed DeLon if he's just gonna watch. Is DeLon like the playoff killer? Like, is he the secret weapon? Because why is Patty starting next to Terry?
I think they're trying to replicate some shooting, honestly. But then in the process, he's fallen in love because Patty's in the right place. You know, it's just the right place was 2014, unfortunately. It's just Spo gets like this on these vets, you know. Just he brings a certain savvy and look, we enjoyed having Patty on the pod, but it seems like they're a few years late on that one.
I would be playing DeLon because if you play the Cavs, you can put DeLon on guard.
Oh no, no, for sure. I think DeLon is going to give one of those guys hell in the first round.
Don't get me wrong. He's still going to start a playoff game, right? Like at game three, he's going to start.
Right. So it's going to take Spo two games of Patty getting absolutely torched by Spider or Garland to then start DeLon.
DeLon Wright, over or under 1.5 playoff starts. DeLon Wright, over or under 1.5 playoff starts.
I'd say under, but I got a better question for you. I'll let you guys answer this, but then I guess we can close this thing up because Alex's computer can't take this long to put it on the podcast feed. I think we've already exceeded the bandwidth limit. Talking about my internet, I'll throw this out at you. Who plays more playoff minutes for the Heat this year? Ready? Uh-huh. Alondis Williams or Tyler Hero?
Alondis.
It better be Tyler Hero, but I mean, it might be Alondis.
Oh, wait, he can't, right? Because he's a right?
He's ineligible. All right, 0-0. It's a tie.
Will it be a tie?
Well, Tyler Hero or who else is not a two-way on the roster? It's Orlando. Orlando will play, unfortunately. Garbage time. Ideally, after a win, for the sake of everyone watching this.
Oh, well, by the way, Ethan, meet.
Yeah.
Brian and me have to say DeLon Wright because we transitioned our offseason take of Haywood Highsmith will be a starter for the playoffs.
Yes.
We transferred all that stock to DeLon Wright. Yes. Transferred it all. 100%.
Yes. Haywood Highsmith, cool experiment. I don't think he's somebody.
Wait, did Tony just disappear? I think that's our cue here. This has been fun, guys. I appreciate it. Thanks for bringing us on. I do want to mention for those of you who are listening to Floor is Yours for the first time, typically Sean is in my spot, and I guess he'll be back with these guys next week. We try to put these up on the podcast feed. Five on the Floor be back tomorrow. Greg is back, and he's on a sabbatical. He's like he's like a Heat player. He's on load management for the last week. But Greg will be back Friday to handle some things. Alex Brady and myself will be at the game. Any closing thoughts, Brian or Timmy, before we get out of here?
Yes, we'll be back next week. Discord, Off the Floor, subscribe.
Yes.
We're always throwing stuff in there. And tomorrow, obviously, there's going to be a lot of game stuff. And follow us all individually also. It helps the business, especially mine, because, boy, I need numbers, apparently. All right, let's get out of here, Alex.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.